7. Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. I apologize for my cough drop, but we will all benefit from it. As we're getting settled in, my name's Michelle. I should have my name tag on like so many of you wonderful people. My name is Michelle. I've been a member for about 3 years. We're doing something a little different today. It's the celebration of the solstice. It's turning into a beloved tradition here at First Unitarian Universalist, Unitarian Church of Alton. So thank you very much for coming. So there will be things that seem familiar and things that may be a little different. You'll notice on the order of service, there is a section for sharing of personal joys, milestones, and usually concerns. However, that's been tweaked, and it's headed down to the bottom. We'll have a special place for that to give it the care it needs. So, by the way, you are invited, following this worship service, for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, just behind me in these doors. If you are a newcomer this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that if this is your first visit, you'll consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and placing that card in the offering plate or handing it to an usher. If you'll do that, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know all about the programs and activities going on here at church. If you would like to learn more about the church and Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays in the fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you are certainly welcome to take home with you. And now I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you do not yet know. Also in the order of service, I draw your attention to the announcements. We hope you'll keep these things in mind as you plan your upcoming week. And I also invite anyone who may have announcements for the good of the church to step up to the mic and share them.
That was a cute hop. Do you want to go first?
No.
Okay.
Hi, Robin Berkeley. I am going to be coordinating Fourth Saturday Lunch, which is this upcoming Saturday. There's a list in the Kate Worker Room. If you haven't already volunteered to do stuff, and I know I caught a bunch of people on Facebook, but please add things to the list. Even if you could just bring things like candy canes and Christmas cookies and, you know, anything for the little ones. And we're collecting socks. Is that correct also? Did I hear that? So packages of socks. We're good on socks? Well, okay, but, you know. So more than merrier. It's the holiday season, so. So anything you can do. If you have any questions about it, we're doing pulled pork, sort of a barbecue-y kind of fashion, only because it's easier for the holidays that we're not in our own kitchen. So anything after that would be good. Thanks.
Good morning. Be welcome in this special place. I'm Stephen Mead, Director of Religious Education. Every so often, I do get a Sunday off, and one of those Sundays is coming up. It's December 30th, and we have Children's Chapel, which is always Dreidel Sunday. So I'm looking for some Jewish croupiers to run the dreidel extravaganza, and I have all of the chocolate and all the, because there's chocolate involved, it should be easy to get volunteers. So there'll be a sign-up sheet. I just need three adults or youth would be good. That's always fun. So it's always a fun Sunday. So let me know.
Hi, I'm Amanda Grippy. I'm here on behalf of the RE committee. And I am asking for more volunteers. We need some adults to help supervise during our play rehearsals. We need about 10 volunteers, and there's going to be a sign-up sheet brought up after church. We don't expect that you'll have to volunteer every weekend of the play, so that's good. And it really is easy. You don't have to prepare. Stephen takes care of all the directing. You just have to be there just as an extra set of eyes, pretty much. And it's also a really great opportunity if you aren't an RE teacher, if you want to jump in and just help out with the kids for a few weekends, that'd be great. Thanks.
I'm Kleber Van Zandt, minister of this church, and I am not asking for volunteers. But they were, so go see them. If you were planning on standing up after the service and heading that way, I invite you not to go this way instead into the coffee hour, where there will be an important announcement made by the Board of Trustees just as a few minutes after this service ends, as we can get set up. But I invite you to come hear that announcement.
And a report, so it'll be a little longer than usual. My first announcement is that anybody who wants to go Christmas caroling this afternoon, several of us are going to join members of other churches going Christmas caroling at three nursing homes here in the Alton area. So if you're interested, talk to me. We're going to be meeting at 2:00 at College Avenue Presbyterian Church. My second is more of a report. Sayer has asked me to give you all an update on our capital campaign projects. Since the roof has been done, a new furnace is put in, and a new sound system installed, all since July, and those three projects have amounted to a little over $35,000. The bid that we accepted on the kitchen renovation and worker room coffee center came to $55,000. And work was started in late November. This work was on target for completion this month until two problems came up. The first was that the copper pipes in the kitchen had corroded and were beginning to fail, and so we decided it was better to replace them now while the kitchen was all torn up rather than waiting for the inevitable leaking to happen and have to replace them later. The new pipes cost us an additional $1,500. The second and larger issue is the confirmation of asbestos by Farmers and Associates Environmental Consulting Firm. They say our current flooring has asbestos, and we suspected that since they are 9x9 tiles installed in the 1960s, and asbestos was common in all flooring back then and until the mid-1980s. After the tests were done and the test results paperwork was submitted to the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, we had a 10-day waiting period until we can continue with our remodeling. And so we're working with our architect and June Construction Company to take the right steps in removing or encapsulating the flooring. And we should have the bids in for the asbestos work this week. And so at this point, we don't know what our cost will be or what steps we will be taking, what our options are. The only danger with asbestos is if it's like tiles, if the tiles are severely damaged so the tiles become like powder. Then the asbestos fibers can get in the air. There is absolutely no danger to health if the tiles are not broken. We've been here since 1969 with them. We've been assured that our space will be safe to be occupied during our Sunday services, and any areas needing asbestos abatement will be sealed off while the work is being done. But we're asked not to have any meetings here during the week until the abatement work is finished. Sundays are fine. And while all this work is going on, we're starting to explore with our architect what needs to be done on the Albee Street side in our RE wing. So we have an accurate cost analysis. On the financial side of this report, to date we have received $121,480 in capital campaign contributions for 2012. And expenses that have been or will be taken from this amount between now and, say, February, $29,000 for a new roof, $4,000 for a new furnace, $1,500 for a new sound system, $1,500 for the copper pipes, $6,200 for new appliances, including our commercial dishwasher, $55,000 for the kitchen renovation and the coffee center in the worker room, and we have paid $11,000 toward our architect's fee of $20,000. And that $20,000 fee will be paid over the next months. And we don't yet know how much the asbestos abatement will cost. And so without the asbestos abatement, these costs total $109,000, leaving about $12,000 left as we move into the second year of the capital campaign. We're still expecting some more capital campaign contributions to be paid before the end of 2012. And since many people paid off their entire three-year capital campaign early, paid it off in 2012, we can't expect to get as much in 2013 or 2014 as we did this year. And I'm estimating we will get about $53,000 in 13 and $48,000 in 14. And we do have another fund we can tap into that has about $25,000 in it right now. We're hoping to get some more pledges in from people who have not yet made a capital campaign pledge. And we're hoping that some people will be able to pay off their three-year pledge early. So we'll have enough cash on hand to at least begin the work on the Albee Street side. And so that's where we are today. And hopefully by this time next month, we'll be able to celebrate our new kitchen and our coffee center. Thank you.
Thank you for the announcements. Next, I invite you to share with us personal joys and milestones. Remember again that we will revisit sorrows and concerns. So please feel free to move to this microphone and share with us any joys or milestones you may bring with you today.
Good morning, my name is Jennifer Timpey, and I just wanted to share the joy that my husband and I celebrated our 15-year wedding anniversary yesterday.
The prelude begins our worship service as Miss Claire Grippy lights our chalice. Again did the earth shift. Again did the nights grow long and the days short. And the people of the earth were glad and celebrated, each in their own way. Let us worship together. Our first hymn is Round and Round, which is printed in your order of service. We will be singing it twice through. In the order of service. Do you have one of those? Rise as you are able, please.
Oh.
We can join together in responsive reading number 543 in the back of your gray hymnal. I'm sorry, I should have asked you to bring those with you. Number 543, entitled Winter. Let us not wish away the winter. It is a season to itself, not simply the way to spring. The clarity and brilliance of the winter sky delight. The loom of fog softens edges, lulls the eyes and ears of the quiet, awakens by risk the unquiet. A low dark sky can snow, emblem of individuality, liberality, and aggregate power. Snow invites to contemplation and to sport. Winter dark tends to warm light, fire and candle, winter cold to hugs and huddles, winter want to gifts and sharing, winter danger to visions, plans, and common endeavoring, and the zest of narrow escapes, winter tedium to merrymaking. Be seated. We have been greatly blessed. Let us now give generously so that others may be blessed by the work of the church. The morning's offering will now be given and received.
Mother, help me. Mother, heal me. Please release me from all things worldly that do not serve me. Mother, love me. Mother, help me. Mother, heal me. Please all things worldly that do not serve me. Mother, love me. Mother, help me. Mother, heal me. Please release me from all things worldly that do not serve me. Mother,
good morning. Welcome to the special place. Kids, come on down. Now, just so you don't, just so you know, don't go rushing out of here after story is over, because we're staying here in the sanctuary this morning. So who were the Celts? Does anybody know? Have they ever heard of the word Celts or Celtic peoples? Michaela. You don't know? I changed her mind. Gareth. Kelt, yes. Yeah, it was that Celts. That can't be where it works. Ancient Rome. So Celtic peoples are still around, but if you were to put them on a map today, they'd probably be in France and Britain and Ireland. And Celtic peoples celebrated the solstice by staying up all night, kind of like a senior high con. Yeah, they go and greet the sun as it rises. So that's one way to do it. Does anybody stay up at night, all night at your house to celebrate solstice? You can try. Well, some Native American cultures did it differently. And us Unitarians often learn from other wisdom traditions. And this one comes from the Iroquois. Now, the Iroquois were not a tribe, they were a nation. And that nation, it's kind of like America, had different tribes in it, just like America has different states in it. And this one had Mohawks, Oneidas, Onondagas, Cayugas, and Seneca. So if you were one of those five tribes, you belonged to the Iroquois nation. And the Iroquois did something very different on the shortest night of the year. They all went to bed early. Have you ever done that? And rather than staying all up all night to celebrate the dawn, the people of the longhouse, the Iroquois, turned in early to sleep and to dream. And if you have lost your dreams, the Iroquois say, you've lost part of your soul. And as Mother Night reigns supreme in dreaming, they walk between the worlds of light and darkness, gathering great meaning from what the great mystery illuminated for them. And at first light, the entire tribe would gather, and each tribal member, men, women, right down to the smallest child, and that would include all of you here, they would tell, stand and relate what their dreams they saw last night on that special night. And those dreams would be discussed at length by the entire tribe for each vision's meaning for the individual, about the world, and about their tribe. So how many here remember your dreams? Raise your hands. You can remember your dreams. Sometimes I do. Are they always nice ones? No, they're not always. For those of you who don't remember dreams, what do you think stops us from remembering? Like maybe being jolted awake by the alarm clock and jumping off to the breakfast table and going to school, and your day starts and you're off and running, and you don't sit down and you don't have time to remember it. So what could you do to remember your dreams?
Sleep longer.
Sleep longer. I like that idea. Sleep in, yes. Persephone.
I just end up waking up early and I always forget the dreams.
Taking a nap.
You could take a nap.
I don't have an alarm clock because I don't have a clock period.
See, I'm lucky to be on the right calendar. So, how about you, Tori?
You can you can like keep on trying to remember it with your brain.
You can keep on trying to remember, and you know what? A lot of people do at that point. They write it down. They keep a little book next to their bedside. So do you share your dreams with anybody, like the Iroquois? Who do you tell, Persephone?
My friends.
Your friends, yeah. And I wonder, do our dreams instruct us? They can. My wife always tells me one. She tried to learn how to French braid her hair, and she couldn't do it, and couldn't do it, and couldn't do it. One night she dreamed about it, did it in a dream, and the next morning she woke up and she could French braid her hair. How about that? So dreams can instruct us. Do you think they can give us wisdom? Sam.
Sometimes dreams can tell us what to do because the dreams become our conscious.
That's true. They give us wisdom. So do you think dreams can reveal your deeper wishes? If I were to tell you what I dreamt about last night, I dreamt about enamored like this. I dreamt about prairie flowers and growing a garden of prairie flowers. Now, that could tell me two things. It could tell me I shouldn't mow my lawn, which I like that interpretation. Or it maybe tells me I should grow something. And at my house, there's too much shade, so it probably doesn't tell me that to literally grow in a garden. It might tell me to grow other things of beauty. So maybe I'll just say, I'll grow you guys, because you're all beautiful. So that works. So do you think it can be vital to your good fortune to remember your dreams? What do you think, Tori?
Yes.
Yes. And for those of you who remember and you write down, you can dance your dreams alive. As Mother Night watches over us, giving birth to new dawn. Let's heed our dreams, the ones that are birthed within us, not the ones that are imposed on us from without. So let that spirit of our ever full, loving heart's reality drive out the ghosts of want and illusion. So watch and listen to your dreams, and dance that dream.
And so, you might wake up in the middle of the night.
You might wake up in the middle of the night, and you might remember it. So what else can we do today? Two things. Have fun and learn something. That's not, that's right. Okay, everybody goes back to your family now. Thank you very much. So don't forget your dreams.
So in many pagan ceremonies, it is traditional to do honor and turn and face and call to the directions to orient ourselves. So we share that here with you. If you would and are interested, you may rise up and face the directions that we call to help you out. This is north behind me. We're going to start in the east to your left, right to your right.
Spirit of the East, Spirit of Air, of morning and springtime, be with us as the sun rises, in times of beginning, times of planting. Inspire us with the fresh breath of courage as we go forth into new adventures.
Spirit of the South, Spirit of Fire, of noontime and summer, be with us through the heat of the day and help us to be ever-growing. Warm us with strength and energy for the work that awaits us.
Spirit of the West, Spirit of Water, of evening and autumn, be with us as the sun sets and help us to enjoy a rich harvest. Flow through us with cooling, healing quietness, and bring us peace.
Spirit of the North, Spirit of Air, of nighttime and winter, be with us in the darkness, in the time of gestation. Ground us in the wisdom of changing seasons as we celebrate the spiraling journey of our lives. We have one reading for you today. It will be split between two people.
embracing the darkness. Winter solstice, or Yule, is traditionally celebrated in many circles as the beginning of new light. It is the point of the year when night reaches its zenith. From then on, each day grows longer as the sun returns to the northern hemisphere. Starhawk's winter solstice ritual and spiral dance ends with the chant, "The tide has turned. The light will come again. In a new dawn, in a new day, the sun is rising." Diane Stein, in Casting the Circle, calls Yule a ritual of rebirth, the return of the goddess, and of light and warmth. Janice Brock, in Seasonal Dance, calls Yule the anticipation of the return of the sun, where darkest night is also the rebirth of light.
Why all this rush to get out of the dark? We noticed the days growing shorter way back at Lammas in August, and we gathered in our dues and paid our debts in the waning light of Mabon, September. At Samhain, Halloween, October, we left the world of the living and entered the world of the dead. If we have taken a quarter of a year to get to the dark, why, a bare six weeks later, are we anxiously heralding the light again? Do we want to hurry the light because we fear the dark?
Let us open our minds and hearts to the place of quiet, to the silent prayer for the healing of pain and the soft, gentle coming of love. I invite you now to move to the microphone and share with us any sorrows or concerns you may bring with you today.
Wow, I didn't realize how hard this was going to be all of a sudden. Coming in today, as always, I listened to On Being, and they were talking today about the community that is built out of tragedy. And as many of you know, Friday was a pretty tragic day. Closer to many of us than you would probably imagine. One of the great joys that I've had in this community is finding people that connect me to my past. Kevin and I went to high school in neighboring high schools, rivals. We always beat Newtown. Erin's sister-in-law is a woman that I grew up with. I've known her since third grade. And that's just pretty
not
cool.
Me, but
no, her sister-in-law. Yeah. So I've loved this connection to the past, but one of the things that we both recognized, or the three of us recognized Friday, was that we were hit very tight and touched very deeply by the tragedy because of our family and friend connections to Newtown and to the horror that happened there, which we will keep sort of clean given the number of kids in the room. So we decided that we wanted to offer a prayer to those families in memory of that day, and I know Erin has a few things that she wants to add as well. So I'm going to start with a poem from Khalil Gibran, the poet. Your children are not your children. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you, and though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backwards, nor tarries with yesterday. So let's hope the tomorrows for those that were affected will be blessed and held sacred by the collective energy of all of us who are sending them love and positive thoughts during this time of tragedy.
My brother and his wife and their four children live in Newtown, Connecticut, and his two youngest children go to Sandy Hook Elementary. They are unharmed. And I want to say a couple of things. This is what it's really made me think about. You know, today we can wrap our arms around our loved ones. Today we can think we are lucky, our friends, our children, my niece and nephew are okay. But that will only separate everyone into us and them. Today, none of us are lucky. Every one of us has lost a sister, a mother, a child. A star has gone out of our sky, and then another, and another. Gravity is heavier, and the wind is colder. We are all afraid, and in our hearts, we are alone. So in this time of drawing in and feeling the need to protect, I'm asking that we reach out and connect with one another and with everyone we meet when we leave here. In this time of fear, let us be the voice, the action of peace and love.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna ask you to hold hands, if you can, if you like it.
Love is but the song we sing, and fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring, or make the angels cry. Know that dove is on the wing, you need not know why. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Some may come and some may go, we will surely pass. When the one that left us here returns for us at last, we are but a moment's sunlight fading on the grass. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now. If you hear the song I sing, you will understand. You hold the key to love and fear in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now, right now, right now.
So one more thing I want to ask. My brother and sister-in-law are very in shock, and my brother's a really stalwart guy, and he's ever more stalwart in this situation. And my sister-in-law and I do not have a very active relationship. But one thing I know about her, she really values cards. It's her love language. And Brigham and I have a card that we really like it. Anyone who feels like it would sign it with their thoughts and prayers, and we're going to send it to her because I think for her, that will make her feel loved and supported. Thank you.
Take a moment of silence and reflection. Breathe. Prayer for today by Mary Johnson, our Mary Johnson. Spirit within us, we give thanks today for whatever in our lives brings us joy. And we give thanks to those who reach out to us and help us through the hard times. We know we have failings, but we also know that we don't need to be perfect. We just need to be. Let us learn to listen, not to the noises of the world, but to the voice that comes from the quiet beating of our hearts. May we act with compassion towards those in need and lift in our thoughts those who struggle. Spirit within us all, show us the way. Going to pause and bleed, blow my nose. The next thing in your order of service says meditation and chant. This sprung up because this winter's solstice is a little different than the other ones that I've celebrated for many different reasons. Due to noting that perhaps the Mayan calendar system completes a cycle, December 21st, 2012. Some say on that day, half jokingly, that it's the end of the world. And sometimes it feels like it. Others say instead it's a gateway to usher in a new age of higher consciousness, and maybe it will provoke us to realize our interconnectedness. I'm personally in the camp that hopes to discuss all of these experiences that we've had next Sunday at church. But nonetheless, we've lived through yet another milestone in human history. And regardless of my point of view, this day will come, and it seems to be holding heart space for a lot of people. So, hype and fear aside, perhaps we can view it as an opportunity. This time of year bids us to pause and see how we are interconnected and what, in ourselves and culturally, holds us apart from others. And holds us apart from truly knowing ourselves. So to pay homage to the Mayans, whose calendar created such a stir that I still don't really get, I found a phrase while trying to understand a little bit more. In this phrase, it is a greeting between two people. The greeting is in Lakesh, to which a person could respond, Alakesh, or Alakhem. So what does that mean? One translation has it that it means you are another me. Do you want to try to say this?
In Lakesh.
In Lakesh.
A Lakesh.
So to explain further, let's visit a poem that popularized this term. The poet's name is Luis Valdez. Tú eres mi otro yo.
You are my other me.
Si te hago daño a ti.
If I do harm to you.
Me hago daño a mí mismo.
I do harm to myself.
Si te amo y respeto.
If I love and respect you.
Me amo y respeto yo.
I love and respect myself.
I am another you. Some have even gone to say that this translation still has too much distance between the you and I. Perhaps it's just a trick of language. Maybe I and you are actually saying the same word. To a Spanish-speaking audience, it was explained to me as yo soy. Perhaps it could just be wrapped up with yo soy, I am. The implication is that there's nothing, nothing that separates us. Luis Valdez's poem goes on to encourage embracing your own culture, skin, language. Love yourself first. And then, after learning to love yourself, use that same ability to then love and know others, to not tolerate, but accept and affirm. Wouldn't it be interesting if the old adage, know thyself, also was a way of knowing others? We can use this phrase today, maybe in the future, I am, as a gateway into ourselves. Our chant and meditation is on I am. I invite you to join in this mantra. I am. 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 So returning to the reading that we had earlier, the writer's name is Janice Van Cleef, who happens to be a transgendered pagan woman in Seattle, Washington, practicing and living a feminist spiritual path known as Dianic Wicca. Catherine's research discovered this writer, and I noticed that she also has 25 other articles on witchfox.org if you're interested in the intersection between this amazing person and paganism.
Why all this rush to get out of the dark? Technically, of course, it is true that the days do grow longer after winter solstice. This, however, does not relieve our feelings that we have many months of darkness ahead. Our psychic sense of winter extends all the way to Astera in March. Even in Imbolc, in far-off February, we light many candles to encourage the light, which we still do not see. So while the sun may peek over the heel stone at Stonehenge in late December, darkness rules for yet a considerable time. Do we want to hurry the light because we fear the dark? Our images of the dark will have to be revised. This is a courageous movement towards accepting the wholeness of our being that challenges our cultural conditioning of fearing the great dark unknown. This statement is significant. It identifies the dark with the unknown, yet it acknowledges the dark as an intrinsic part of ourselves. That means there is part of ourselves that we do not know and that we therefore fear. How did we lose our knowledge of the dark? How did we lose our knowledge of ourselves, of each other? One answer could be cultural and religious myths that set up false divisions and hierarchies, including the separation of light and dark. These thought forms taught the dark as was evil and that we should shun it for the light. But by shunning the dark, we shun an essential part of ourselves, therefore experiencing ignorance and fear about it, which robs us of our wholeness. We can use the moon to illustrate how we are whole. The moon has phases we can notice in the night sky, from a small silver sliver that builds up to a round full moon, and back down to another crescent called the last quarter. The moon has a distinct period between the last quarter and the new moon. The moon must pass through this period to renew itself. Drawing a parallel between the commonly celebrated eight pagan Sabbats, winter solstice is like the dark period of the moon, the depth of dark, or balsamic phase. This dark phase is the time of transformation when healing and renewal occur. When we enter the dark time at Samhain, we let go of last year's structures so our energy could be reabsorbed into a formless state of non-being. In this dark phase, our energy essence is cleansed, distilled, revitalized, and imbued with a new vision that ultimately will become our new form, rebirthed at Imbolc. Much pain may arise in the process of releasing our vital energy from useless forms or habitual or non-productive psychological patterns. I bet you can think of a habit you have worth releasing. I know I can. But this is also the very energy that will nourish us and enable us to push onward toward new growth. The end results may not become apparent until we have clarified and enacted our new vision, and this often takes some time. Perhaps this takes longer than 6 weeks. In our mundane world, these very weeks are filled to panic proportions. They are the American holidays, the family gatherings, the commercial frenzy, third quarter earnings reports and year-end inventories, cards, cookies, gifts, which all seem like harmless ideas, bury us in self-inflicted obligation. Is it any wonder that we collapse in January, physically and emotionally exhausted? Is it any wonder that New Year's resolutions hastily made just as hastily fade? How much introspection and renewal can we accomplish in the midst of all this cacophony and still leap to a rebirth of light at winter solstice? What kind of renewal can we make if we have not lain fallow in deep spiritual rest? How can we hope for next year to be better, deeper, richer, or more fulfilling than the last if we don't take enough time to transform? Taking this is a way to acquire night vision so we can navigate and gain knowledge of the dark phase of the wheel of the year of our own being. With knowledge comes understanding and appreciation. With appreciation, we can reclaim ownership of our dark phase and embrace it like a long-lost sister, home at last. We can look forward to the dark and willingly linger there. How else can we develop night vision and willingly experience reflection and renewal? We might begin by reevaluating our rituals for winter solstice. We might start by giving it more room to breathe on its own, leaving the act of dying at Samhain and not invoking rebirth until Imbolc. We can't even postpone references to new light until spring. Sacred space can be created to evoke a dark place that is full of its own meaning without gloom, sadness, or fear. A connection may be drawn between tomb and womb. We can visualize leaving the husk of last year's form, scattering throughout the earth and amongst the stars. We can use whatever will work to create holiday rituals, which acknowledge the time it will take for our personal essence to cleanse, distill, re-energize, and refocus into a new vision of itself. As the caterpillar surrenders in the darkness of its cocoon, so we can surrender ourselves at winter solstice to allow our own transformation by plunging into darkness enthusiastically, appreciating and embracing it. We may emerge at Imbolc with something truly worth lighting a candle about.
next hymn is number 155. The words to this is also printed in your order of service. It's a little confusing in the gray hymnal. So as we look at these words, we're going to be singing Circle Round for Freedom. We will be singing it one time. Please rise as you're able. Turn to the elements and bid them fare well and receive their blessings. We'll start in the north. So facing this way. Deep peace of the quiet earth. You.
Deep peace of the watery depths to you.
Deep peace of the hearth fire to you.
Deep peace of the flowing air to you.
Deep peace of the solstice season to you. Maybe we can try to embrace the darkness, as we can't outrun ourselves. We're tricky. Hold it close this season and know that the light will come on from within and shine out all around you. Let's share our lights together in fellowship and conversation. Thank you.